upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I am John, and today is Ladies Takeover Day. So on one side of the table, I have my best friend and my lovely wife, Miss Terry. On the opposite side of the table is her very best friend and one of the few people in the world that I trust, Miss Brittany.
Hello.
Hello. So, we have offered up Bumper Sticker Wisdom to the ladies today. We, Jason and I, are not going to be involved. All I'm doing is bringing you in, and then I'm going to walk away. So if you don't mind, I will say a quick prayer, and we'll get to it. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together, to get to know you better, to bear our hearts to you, Father God, and thank you that you are gracious. Thank you that you love so big. Just allow us to give everything up to you, Father, whatever it is that you think needs to come out of it, whatever you know needs to come out of it, whoever needs to hear it, they'd be listening, Father. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, ladies.
I'm John's wife, and we met at Benny Keith. Long story short, we got moved in together and then got married and then just played lots of softball, stuff like that. Got into church. Was not a good person at the point, at that time. I'm not saying I was not a good person. I'm just saying that I believed in God, but I didn't. But, you know, lots of people knew who I was, but, you know.
Well, I think it's just a matter of, like, you know, you were living your own way.
Yes.
And sometimes you weren't always proud of that,
no,
you know.
No.
So I remember when we met. Mm-hmm. My family owns a bar here in Amarillo, Polly's Pub on 10th Street. It's one of the oldest bars here, but Terry, my dad at the time came to me and was like, we need another bartender. Have you ever thought about bartending? And I was like, no, but, you know, it's fast cash. So
yeah,
let me try it. I figured at the time, and I wasn't in a good situation. I was in a partnership that just was not a good situation. And so it was, I was the only provider. And so I pretty much needed the extra cash.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and started working at Polly's, and you were one of the bartenders there. And first impressions, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was scared a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were.
I'm very intimidating.
You
I'm
are.
Not, yeah. I'm very, like, wow. Yes, yes.
Not even that. It's you're the type of person, I will say, that you know what you're doing, and you like to do a good job. And you don't let people get in your way.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so with that, I think that's all that is. I don't think you're a mean person or anything like that. I never thought that.
Yeah.
I just, and I won't lie, at the time, I was a very insecure person. So
mm-hmm.
I knew I didn't know the job. And so I had to rely on you a lot, you know, you to teach me a lot of
trust
things.
Me, when I first walked into Polly's, I had no first time I've ever bartended.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, it's on 6th Street. You know, there's lots of, you know, homeless people walking up and down. And, you know, you walk in, you're just like, oh, first time I ever saw someone say, hey, you have any hydros? I'm like, what? I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned a lot from people and knowing people.
Mm-hmm.
And their struggles and stuff like, and when you walk into a bar, you don't realize how many people don't know Jesus.
Oh yeah.
But you, there's one person I have to give a shout out to. His name is, what is his name now? I can't remember his name. But he was a pastor's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And dude,
Jerry,
mm-hmm. Dude, knew Bible, and he would do things. He would write off the Bible, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know.
And you when you look at people, first impressions, all the time, first impressions, you're just like, are you serious?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you see people all the time and you're trying to minister to people like that. You know, and by then I wasn't really into church then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really wasn't, you know, you knew, I knew, I went to church. I've been to church since I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, it was Church of Christ. Ooh, mm-hmm. You know, so I really wasn't into it then.
Yeah.
Like I was when I got better, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was just, it's just, you just see people in this bar, it, you don't realize.
Well, and I think that's the thing is, like, we both kind of went through a process. Okay, because mind you, we both were in and out of Poly. So for this whole span of, what, from 2009 till a few years ago, honestly. So, you know, at first, you know, you see people like Jerry and you're like, this guy is crazy. He doesn't know what he's saying half the time. But then once, like now I look back at it and I'm like, yes, you know, did he have a problem? Yes. But at the same time, did he know the word? Did he preach the word if he needed to? You know, it was just, I have to look at it and like, that wasn't my place to judge that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like the thing is like, we don't even know the lessons we could have learned through from him, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing is like now we've all changed and evolved and you have to take the time to get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time talking to my dad about you when you were working at Polly's and you were in church and stuff like that. And there was people saying stuff because you were saying, you know, I go to church and, you know, the it was talked about. You talked about it, you know. And I remember my dad talking to me about it. And or maybe it was my dad. If it wasn't dad, it was Darla or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we were just talking about it. And I was like, it was my dad. Sorry. But the thing about it was, is I remember one time, I'll never forget it. Some guy walked in and he sat down at the bar. You walked up to him and like, told him, like, God bless you. Like, first thing you said to him, and he just kind of looked at you, and you asked him what he wanted. He ordered. Y'all started talking about God because, you know, you came at him like that. And I remember y'all talking, and I just remember him, you standing over across the bar, talking to this man for a little bit, and then he just gets up and walks out. And he didn't even drink it. And I just, you came over and told me what y'all talked about, and he just was having a bad day, and he came to drink, and then y'all started talking, and then he left. And it was like, how can you guys say that there's no room for God in a bar? I don't believe that that's a thing.
But remember, look where God was. He was with the sinners. He was where all the sinners were. He wasn't in a church. He was, you know, he was where, you know, where they were gambling and those things. You know, he wasn't anywhere like that. But to get him to that point where I really wasn't a church, and of course, I was working on Saturday nights. Casey was like, Mom, of course, you know, she was in her, you know, pregnant and like, I want to go back to church. I was like, okay. You know, I'm not going to say I was into church, so, you know, was into church. And she's like, I'm going to start going back to church. I'm like, oh, Saturday nights, long day. You know, I'm out of the bar by 2:30.
Yeah.
Telling people, okay, 2:30. Come on, guys. Move it up. Move it out. And they're like, come on, Terry. No, dude, I got church. And like, you go to church? And I'm like, yes, dudes. And I got to be up by 9. And I want you out, in and out. And they're like, come on. I said, Jesus loves y'all too. Come on. Get out. Mm-hmm. I would play Christian music on the jukebox. People are like, who played this? I did.
I remember
Come
that.
On, guys. Yeah. You know? But, you know, it's so good to be able to preach to people like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean.
And I think that was the thing is, like, that's where you truly started growing your relationship with God, you know? And, you know, you had talked prior about, like, you know, Casey was pregnant, so of course you got grandkids on the way. Grandkids are coming, and that's just a different world, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, neither one of us were proud of the way we were living. Come on, let's be for real.
I'm not going to lie to you. I lived a very junky life. It was terrible. It was so terrible. It was so toxic. I didn't know what to do. Worked two jobs, supporting a man that didn't deserve to be supported. Mm-hmm. And I met John.
Yeah.
I met John, and it was like life-changing.
Yeah.
It was life-changing. And I was just like, man, never knew God would send me someone like this. And he did.
Yeah, I remember meeting John and just like immediately feeling safe around him, you know. But it was like the first time I felt like my friend is going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he is going to make sure she's okay. Yeah. And I had, you know, I had peace in that. And I feel like that's kind of where our lives kind of split a little bit. I was working a lot. I worked at a company with like mentally challenged, you know, people with intellectual disabilities. And I did that for 13 and a half, almost 14 years, something like that. And I enjoyed it. I loved my clients, you know.
That's a hard job to do because mentally, I mean, people that just, you got to be talented to do that, you know.
Well, it's just patience. And I will tell you, I didn't always have it. You know, there was times where I didn't know how to handle situations and I wasn't always proud of, you know, how I let it affect me, you know, or just, you know, just things. I've learned over time that I have to have grace for myself because I didn't have the tools. I didn't know. But at the you know, like I said, I love that job. I love my clients. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I was a supervisor, and I worked, I had my own group home on top of, was helping with like crisis intervention, and I enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed crisis intervention. That was one of my things I truly loved, was being able to go in and see that you could help these families they just by giving them the support, you know, because these kids, you know, they wanted to be at home, but their families didn't know how to handle it. And I get it, you know, and so just being able to help them and give them the tools that they need, it was something I enjoyed. And then I got pregnant with my babies. I, you know, at Polly's, I'd met my husband, Eric.
I love him.
He's a precious soul. He started, he was one of our regulars. He was on our pool league and stuff like that. And
it's
then,
not his name. His name is E-Rock.
E-Rock, yeah. And I remember one time him going to do karaoke, and he just was like a little Jack Russell Terrier up there. I mean, just bouncing all over the place and just lit that whole bar up. And I remember in that moment just being like, he is so, like, big, and he doesn't even see his power. You know what I mean? Like, oh.
Yeah.
So I remember telling my dad, like, I want to try to see if I can get him to come play at the bar because they were doing music. He was in a band at the time. And so they come up. I ended up talking to my dad. He was down for it. Eric was down for it. So we got them to come play for New Year's. And I was texting Eric, setting all that up. And I just finally, I remember it was, Terry and I were working together a few days before Christmas. It was like a Friday before Christmas. And he came in with his cousin from out of town. And they were talking. Of course, everybody said hi to E-Rock when he walked in the bar. And I remember standing at the back of the bar with Terry and just being like, I like him. I just always have liked him. And
of course, I'm an over-aggressive person. I was like, E-Rock. He's like, what? I said, she likes you. He goes, what? What? Not, I was like, she kind of likes you. She thinks you're cute. And he's like, that girl right there? I was like, yes. And he was like,
Yeah. And I mean, and the thing about him is, of course, He didn't make a movie. He's just that guy. So
my husband didn't make the first movie that I did.
Well, we're those kind of ladies.
Yes.
And so I just eventually texted him one day and was like, do you want to go out on a date with me? It was after 2 days after Christmas.
Mm, yeah.
And so we met up at Polly's, and Terry and John met us up there. And, of course, I needed backup because I was terrified. And I think it was only because I respected him. I knew him from the bar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just remember him walking, us going up there and sitting at the table. And, of course, I did have a few drinks to get myself prepared for that.
Right.
And it was just a good night.
A good night. It was that table on the very far corner over there.
Yeah. And it was and so Eric and I, sorry, I kind of spewed off on that. We met and ended up getting married back in 2016, and we had kids. So prior to Eric, I have my own child, Miriam, and that kid is just the best kid ever. And she is now 21 years old. And then Eric and I together had Lillian, who is 7 now, and Asher, who is 6. And so Asher, when I guess he was about 8 months old, was at a babysitter's.
8 months old, that's
yeah,
right.
It was about 7, 8 months old. He was at a babysitter's. Now, the babysitter was kind of friends of friends, and needed to make some, you know, was needing to, she had some stuff going on, and she needed to work from her home. And I needed a babysitter. I was scared of daycares.
Daycares are scary.
So I was like, oh, I can just have a friend watch my kid, and it'll be fine. So one awful day when Asher was about 8 months old, my husband calls me while I was at work to tell me that Asher wasn't acting right. So we end up going to the emergency room. Long story short, he had a fractured femur. That happened while he was with the babysitter. Mm-hmm. Of course, a femur is a hard bone to break.
Mm-hmm.
So
especially being 8 months old.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or 6 months old.
Yeah, because babies' bones are so pliable. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they just shouldn't break. So we had to go to Lubbock, and of course, CPS got involved, all the things. And I get it. I understand why those companies are in place to mm-hmm. take care of.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing about it was, is that moment, I think I was put in a place to decide, like, what are you doing from here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a relationship with God. I mean, I was raised by my father that was, you know, always showed us God.
Yeah.
Always led us to God. And even when it's hard, that's who you turn to, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't think you can handle, pray on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so to now, you know, so in that moment, my dad did come down to Lubbock with Eric and I and stuff. And I just remember my dad telling me, he's like, you and Eric unified in that moment. Like, you just unified and made sure that you two, I'm sorry, were there for each other, but also there for your children. And the only thing I could do was think of, you know, like, God, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? I have faith in this man. I mean, because like I said, at the time, he brings me my kid. So CPS is telling me, you know, it could be this, it could be this. I knew what it was, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's just so much going on at that time. And I knew I had to be there for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just me that was going through it. It was my husband that was going through it. It was my family, my kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much. And so, you know, I had, and like I said, with it being one of my friends, somebody that I thought was my friend, and when she got questioned by CPS, would not answer anything, was hiding from people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was hurt. Yeah. I felt stupid, you know. And the thing was, you know, I love you. You are one of those people. You told me from the beginning, I don't trust that girl. And I would be like, Terry, you can't be judgmental like that. But you do have a gift of discernment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel when something's not right. Yeah. And at that time, I just had way too much grace and empathy for people, yeah. you know? And it's kind of, like I said, I had so much shame in it, and it cost me everything. In that moment, I just decided, okay, you know, what am I going to do here? Yeah. And I decided, until my kids can tell me what's going on, I'm just not going
to
work.
Yeah, like, and to quit your job after what?
Yeah, it was just, it was so awful. Yeah. But I knew there was no way I could do that and be the mother I needed to be.
Right.
You know? And I thank God Eric was so willing and still, you know, has been there to support our family through yeah. it all. You know, I owe him everything for that. Just letting me be the mother I didn't get to be for Miriam, yeah. you know. Of course, Miriam's the older, so she got the mother that was always working doubles and all of yeah. that and staying that, with
her. That's hard.
It is yeah. because she deserves so much more than I had to offer her. Right. And so, you know, and that's the thing is
but like, she doesn't look at it like that,
she
though.
Doesn't.
She doesn't. She's a great kid. She is awesome kid, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is, like, going through all that, it made me reflect on my life, everything that I was letting slide, you know. And I had to learn to, like, let go of some of the people that I felt like I was not saying saving, but I felt like I was giving them a chance, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I you know, with all of that, there's, like I said, there's so much shame. And once you sat down, I sat down and thought mm-hmm. about every little thing. Mm-hmm. I just felt so much shame. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. I was at my house with my babies. I didn't mm-hmm. do anything.
In being home by yourself, into your own mind, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing.
Yes.
Because your awful. Mind thinks way too much.
Yes, it's sickening. It's sickening.
So,
and,
yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, with that shame, it's just like in, you know, Genesis 3:7. Yeah. It says, then the eyes of, oh, no, I'm sorry. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves, yeah. you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, I know that's just, everybody knows that verse. And
yeah,
that, oh, you know, they felt shame once they did the wrong thing. And they realized because he told them they did the wrong thing. But even in the instance with Asher, it's like something mm-hmm. happened for me to have to reflect. I didn't, you know, in reaching out to God, like, help me. And then getting those, like, okay, reflect on your life.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah.
What are you letting slide?
Right.
And let go of that shame.
Yeah.
That is not your shame to carry,
it's not.
You know?
Yeah.
But I did. I did have that shame. And I had to realize, like, is this my shame to
right.
carry? And the shame that I do have, what can I do to work on it?
Yeah.
You know, I can't go back and fix it. We'd all love to, but
right.
we can't.
Yeah. But like I said, like, we've talked about this, you know, shame is hard. Shame is so hard to deal with. We always play the blame game and, you know, shame this, you know, but we have to learn to be able to have grace.
Yes.
Have grace. And I can have grace for everybody else but myself.
I know. And that's what we do as women.
Yep.
It's sick, sick thing we do
as women. I'm the worst. I can give everybody grace all day long. I can't give myself a grace.
Yeah. You know? And I just am, for one, I think it's from where we came from. You know,
mm-hmm.
we are taught to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, as women, you're taught to carry the household, deal with the ugly, and just life in general. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember being a kid thinking, like, oh, when I grow up, it's not going to be like this. It's going to be easy, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to have a pretty life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you grow up, and you're like, man, my just dad like, just pretended like he had it together.
Exactly. It's just like when we talked, you know, we used to do Bible study on Saturdays, and we just kind of, like, teriated. But you and John have helped me in tremendously things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I could have lots of friends, you know, care what people thought. And, okay, I got this, and I got everything. But yeah, I do, you know, but that circle of people, mm-hmm. circle of people, you have to be careful who you put in your circle.
Yeah.
Because, you, I mean, you can be in that circle, but you can't be in this circle.
Yeah, and so, like, in our Bible study group, like, that's one thing that we kind of adopted was the circle of friends, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of what that means. And that's part of, like, what I had to do in my own way. I just didn't know what to call it at the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, like, deciding who deserves what layer, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like an onion, you
who,
know?
Who deserves my good and who deserves...
Yeah, you know? Well, and it's like I said, it's kind of like an onion, like the core, the mm-hmm. center. That's the closest people to you. Mm-hmm. That's your mm-hmm. spouse. That's your bestest friends, your mm-hmm. closest family, the ones that you need every single day, mm-hmm. or if not every other day, you reach out to these people. Yeah. You need those people. Mm-hmm. That's your first tight circle. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that get the ugly, the good, the happy, you share your good, your successes with, yeah. all of that.
That's hard for you sometimes.
Oh, it is.
I mean, you're getting there. But me, I'm the type of person that I can share everything. I just have to learn to can only share what I can share.
Yeah.
I can only control what I can control.
Yeah. And then that's the thing is like realizing you were trying to share with the outer layers.
Yes, you know? Can't do that.
And, you know, in that second layer, you got your family. You're just your regular family and mm-hmm. your regular friends that you see. And, yes, you do share happy things with them, too, and all of the things. But maybe they don't see you're ugly mm-hmm. because you're ugly is hard. I mean, not just yours, mine, everybody's mm-hmm. ugly. It's hard to deal with sometimes. Mm-hmm. And yeah. you have to love unconditionally to deal with that. Mm-hmm. In anybody. So it's not, oh, well, they're a bad person. It's just that's not their place, and that is yep. okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a place in their life. God puts people in your life for a reason, and some have a reason and a season, mm-hmm. you know?
Like I said, that's why God put me and you together, because I'm telling you, being in bar, people thought, like, you know, I go to church mm-hmm. every day, and I'm not going to lie to you, I drink. You know, all the time, you know, but these people know who I am in and out of church, mm-hmm. you know, they know everything, but you know what? You know who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing people. I'm praying over people. Yeah. I'm everything, dude. I'm living the life that God wants me to, mm-hmm. you know, I love what I'm doing. I'm on a high this year. Last year, you know, my dad's been sick, you know, and
yeah, that's
trying hard. To, you know, pray over him and be, you know, nope, he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere, you know.
Well, and that's the thing about you that I don't know that the people around you notice is you are the one that's like, no, we're going to stay positive and you want to stay positive. But I get the ugly that's like, I'm scared. I don't know,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
You can't go and be negative too mm-hmm. with the people around you yeah. or your family or mm-hmm. because you're the oldest, you're meant to be the strong, the mm-hmm. one that is going to lift everybody up even when it's hard, you know.
I have to be able to pick everybody up, but they don't see that mm-hmm. they don't get that, you know, they don't see how heavy it is on me,
yeah,
you know, and they don't, yeah,
and it's not their fault, no. you know, because that's what you choose to give them. They don't know, you know, and that's the thing. That's why you do have your circle and you have your people that are needed for that mm-hmm. part.
So I have you and John, because you and John are the people. Y'all are my rocks. Y'all are my backbone. When I need a backbone, I got you too, because I need someone to lean on, especially with them being sick, you know, and having to, you know, push forward. Cause I need that little, ooh.
Yeah,
that push, hard. You know, because I mean, I'm gonna say God is who He is. You know, yes. God is amazing, and I know He has my back, and I know I'll give it all to Him.
Yes, but and you know what? He's got your dad, and He's got, you know. But in those moments, it's so hard to just not to have faith, because you have faith in it, but to just let the reins go.
Mm-hmm.
How do you let the reins go? And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Especially when it's your parents and you got to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a sticky situation, because you never really know exactly what your place is. Mm-hmm. You're only doing the best you can. Mm-hmm. So just like everyone else around you, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is, like, sometimes you got to realize some people aren't that close to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the third, fourth layer. They're mm-hmm. just the acquaintance. They're mm-hmm. just the family members that, you know, you tell them one thing and they go back and, you know, everybody has them. It's fine, whatever. No judgment. But at the same time, you don't want to give your ugly to that layer because it turns bigger than it should be.
I've learned.
Yeah.
I've learned.
And so that's the thing, is just learning. When you learn people's place, it's easier not to get hurt. Mm-hmm. It's easier not to get mad. Yep. It's easier not to have expectations of other people.
Right.
You know, but it's hard not to. We're, as people, we're constantly let down and let down by others because we're all human.
Yeah.
And then you get to this point where you don't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. And letting people close to you is so terrifying.
Yeah.
Yep. Scary, mm-hmm. you know?
It is scary.
Very, very scary. Very scary. Sorry. So, yeah, we have to, as women, like, in, like we were just talking about, women, we, you're like, I don't have grace for myself.
I don't.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, we as women have to learn to put ourselves first. And
absolutely.
That's so, so, so hard. And, you know, one thing that, when you hear Terry and I talk, you know, future tense, in the future, our point is to be like praying wives. We want to be good praying wives, good partners, you know?
Yes, yes.
You don't have to be a wife, a good husband, a good partner, any of it. We want to be good partners. And yes. So in that, to be a good partner, you have to love yourself first. When you constantly put yourself on the back burner, and we hear it all the time, yep. you know, the rod through the, you can't, what is?
Oh, geez. When you have a speck in your eye.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's what I'm talking about. Like you have to learn to take care of yourself first, because if you can't, my tank is half full,
yeah,
and I give Eric as much as I can, mm-hmm. and Lily as much as I can, mm-hmm. and Miriam as much as I can, mm-hmm. and Asher most of
right,
it.
Yeah.
What do I have left over? And then right. at some point, I have nothing.
Yeah.
You're draining that tank, and then you build resentment, you build hurt, mm-hmm. and we, not just women, but all of us.
Yeah.
We tend to not want to communicate it.
Yeah.
That's our problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to communicate where we're hurt or mm-hmm. where we're sad or where we need help.
Yeah. That's why you have to have someone to be able to fill your cup up, because, I mean, I have some people at church, you know, Hannah's really good about helping me, and Brooke are very good about helping me fill my cup up. You know, just like we had 3 weeks in last week of prayer, and mm-hmm. for some reason I don't know why I wanted to go all 3 days, and the second day was amazing. I don't know mm-hmm. what it was so great that I got filled up. I needed to pray for lots of other people, mm-hmm. and it was funny that last week I prayed for myself. I needed it. And why? I need to be filled up because I got to be able to fill up my other people. I got to fill up, you know, people that I love, that I need to be able to fill them up.
Yes.
You know, I need them to know that, you know, Jesus is here. We got this. But it's so hard when people go, oh, well, you know, can't. Come on, man. Just grab a hold.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, if you don't, I challenge you to start adding yourself to the front of every prayer.
Yes.
Put yourself first. Whether it's, God, tomorrow, please help. Like, I need to find my shoes fast because it frustrated me today. Mm-hmm. Or tomorrow, I need to be more graceful. I was awful today.
Yes.
Or I'm having a bad day today. Yeah. But you have to admit it's an issue. You know, you can't just keep pretending like nothing's ever wrong, right. You know? And, you know, that's the thing is, like, once you start working on yourself, it's, you learn so much more about yourself.
Yeah.
You learn more about the people around you. Yeah. And it's crazy what I've just, like, unraveled about myself, just being quiet,
mm-hmm.
just sitting and listening to myself.
It's funny because I'm not one of those people. I don't like to sit in quiet. Mm-hmm. I want people around me. I'm a crowd person. I want to be able to pull people in. But I've been taking about 5 to 10 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. I get to work early anyway. But I sit and I pray. Mm-hmm. Praying over myself. Mm-hmm. Because I don't pray over myself. Like I said, I don't give myself grace. But I'm praying over myself. Mm-hmm. For about 5 to 10 minutes a day. Yeah. Give me the grace that I need for others. Please help me pray over other people. And, you know, and I'm on the prayer ministry for about probably about a month. Mm-hmm. And I've prayed over like several people that I just can't get them off my mind. And I pray for them in my sleep. I pray for them every time I think about them. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird because for me taking that time to myself, mm-hmm. just to pray over myself, thinking about more important things than just myself, you know, besides my family and stuff like that. But taking that 10 minutes or 5 minutes a day, I don't do that. I don't take 5 minutes a day for myself.
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, gosh, I know. It took me a long time. I mean, I quit working and was at home with my son. And Asher, my youngest, he's autistic. And so, and it's been challenging. We've done in-home care, you know, speech therapy, occupational therapy. And we've learned a lot about him, ourselves, and, I mean, all the things. But when I first walked away from my job, I ran for myself. I ran from the quiet alone. Mm-hmm. I remember one time my dad telling me, and I remember we did it in Bible study once, mm-hmm. but he told me, you need to write a letter to yourself from God.
Mm-hmm. He goes, I do remember this.
Pray about it. Just tell him to say whatever he wants to say to you in that moment. And you sit in quiet and you just write down what you hear in your head.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, just write it down. And at first I was like, I can't do this. For some reason I was embarrassed. Or I felt shameful, like, what if he doesn't say nothing, you know? And I didn't know how to take it. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, okay, and writing and not reading anything until I was done. And some of the first words were like, you're important. Mm. You matter.
Yeah.
And people need you. And I was just like, oh, I lost it because that's not something I would say to myself ever.
Yes.
I wouldn't write it down.
That's good. I think that's good for anybody. Just write what you down. I mean, write things down like that. Like John is, oh, this man is amazing. I love this man with all of my heart. And when he started writing things down for himself, he was letting things go.
Yes.
Because he has childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. You do too. You have very bad childhood trauma. I've never had childhood trauma. I just did mine when I was older. But to have those things, for him to write them down, he's learned to not let them go, but he's...
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, well, to write things down is, you know...
Kind of like our things from John 8:32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
It's freeing. It's freeing to finally admit it. It's freeing to finally say, you know what? Brittany, you didn't always pick good people for you.
Yeah.
Brittany, you didn't always follow your gut. You didn't listen to God when God was saying, you don't know about these.
It's funny, but back then we believed in God. Yes, we believed in God. God was there. God was there, but like we're talking about, we put him on the back burner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We put God on the back burner.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I think on my thing, I didn't write it, but like God, he needs to be in that.
He needs to be that first flame. He needs to be
that center layer.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. When you're younger, you put him on layer 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I talk to him when I need him. Kind of like you do your grandma when you mm-hmm. need to borrow money for the car.
Or we say, well, what are you doing this to us for? Why are you shaming me?
Yes.
What did I do? You cannot sit here and tell me. Yes. You've never said, why are you doing this to me, God? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I did it.
Yeah.
Because I was in a very abusive relationship. God, why me? Why me? And finally, something hit me upside the head. Phew. Okay, here you go. This is your thing. You know, get out of it. Do what you got to do. But you know what? You got to don't put God on the back burner. It's not where he belongs.
No, and that's the thing is like, you know, with that, your husband, your spouse, your best friends, you know, Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but he who brings it up separates friends. And, you know, a simpler way to put it is, you know, it says love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Mm-hmm. You and I have gone through the trenches.
Oh,
bro.
Man.
There's been.
It's like that. It's that one, you know, have you ever seen those things that you go to the, what is that thing?
Like a jack-in-the-box?
No, when you go to a car wash, remember when you use those shimmies?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you do your shimmy through that, you know, yeah. Just, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah, we've been through some stuff.
We
you know?
Have. And the thing is that I don't think I've, you know, realized the I needed this relationship as much as I did, you know, to know that I'll say it, a few months ago, she got the ugliest of me, you know, bright and early in the morning. I will not discuss anything of why it was because I have shame about it. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing about it was I know I was not in a good place. It was early in the morning and she got the ugly. And I feel like if that was a third, fourth row layer friend, that could have been detrimental to mm-hmm. our friendship.
Yes.
But because the grace that we have for each other, mm-hmm. we have both gotten to that point when you know when I'm hurt mm-hmm. and speaking from hurt.
Yes.
Because I don't show that to people.
Nope.
You know, the only people that see that side of me is probably my my mother, my father, my brother, poor guy, my husband, and you. Like, mm-hmm. I do not like to do that. No. I don't. I always have felt weak in those moments, you know.
And no one wants to feel weak, you know.
Yeah, and so, you know, just knowing it's sick because even though you did get the worst of it, I walked away from it feeling so much closer to you because you still loved me in that mm-hmm. moment, you know.
Always will.
The hardest, ugliest mm-hmm. moment where you want to be like, shut up, mm-hmm. you know. But that's just one of those things that, you know, once you start really, really, really dissecting your life, dissecting your friends, dissecting what you're doing and trying to make changes, you know, and that's the thing is like over the next few months, like anytime we're on here, I think that should be our goal is like being better people together, yeah. you know. If you got questions, reach out to John. You know, they have a website. Their email address, you can reach them on TikTok, Facebook. If there's questions women have about, like, how we can all work together, mm-hmm. you know, those times you feel lost, or even if you need unity here in Amarillo or anywhere, I know what it's like to feel alone. I know what mm-hmm. it's like to feel broken.
Especially as a woman, you
yes,
know.
Yes, and embarrassed, yeah. But still knowing somebody's got to get them to school and someone's got to make dinner and someone's got to be emotionally supportive and somebody's got to make sure everybody's happy and all the things, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are lucky because we have partners.
Yes.
But I know there's women out there that
don't have partners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so absolutely. If we can just use each other to be better, that's the whole point of it as yeah, people.
Absolutely.
You know, and One final thing I think we all should discuss as women is we've said it 15 times today, but I'm going to say it again. We have to quit putting ourselves on the back burner.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you deserve that front warm, burnt out spot.
Mm-hmm.
That front wear to the
out.
Right,
wear it
to
out.
The left. You yep. deserve that spot yes. sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, there's times you do have to step back and put your kids first or put your husband first or whatever. But if you don't stop and take time for yourself, you cannot.
Absolutely.
It won't work. It yeah. won't. You are going to stretch yourself so thin that there's no way to come back from it. And like I said, you build resentment. Mm-hmm. There's so much hurt.
But God can help you with all of that if you just let him help you. Just God talks to you in every other way. You have no idea how much he talks to you. You just got to stop and listen to him.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, I'm glad you brought God up, is because God has to be the first informant. You have to be able to talk mm-hmm. to him. But God gives you your community.
Yes.
He shows you. I mean, like, we all look through, like, why, you know, like you were saying earlier, why did he let this happen to me? Mm-hmm. It's not even about that.
Yeah.
It's, God's not going to let you go through anything you can't handle. No. We all hated hearing that growing up.
He already knows. He's like, are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. You're going to do that. Okay, well, all right.
I had to learn in time. Every little thing I went through that broke my heart was meant to teach. Mm-hmm. If I don't teach from it, it's a waste. Mm-hmm. And I made it a waste.
Yep.
You know, I must believe y'all will learn me over time, but you could never learn me in one or two episodes.
Mm, I promise. Yeah.
It's a lot. There's a lot to
this be. Is good for you because you're opening.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little, we're going to open a little, and it's hard for women that don't, you know, don't open, you know, sometimes some women are too open, you know, so just to be able to, you know, talk to women just need to talk too, you know. Yeah,
we have to talk and reach out, and like I said, we got to learn to build our own
community. It's hard to be a mother, it's hard to be a wife, it's hard to be a friend, because we take on so much. Sure. As women, you know, it's just, we don't know when to stop. We don't know when to say no. We don't know when to, you know, ask for help. Mm-hmm. It's the problem. We don't ask. We don't know when to ask. We just do it, and we just do it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And then we get mad.
Yeah.
And then we have, you know, we have problems in our relationship because we don't communicate.
Yes.
So I definitely feel like we, you know, communication, you got to keep that front and foremost. And maybe next time we can, you know, expand on communication and just like things that we do to help ourselves communicate.
Trust me, because it's taken me a long time to communicate. You and John have helped me in to communicate very well, because I'm terrible communicator. You know, you and John are very the same. You know, always ask questions. Why are we doing this? Well, it's because of this. I'm like, oh.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense. So, but to anyone, but I've gotten a lot better to stopping and listening to people, and communication's the number one key of any kind of relationship, friendship, parenting, you know, your relationship with your husband, even with Jesus, you know, because he is speaking to us every day. We just have to learn to stop and listen.
Yeah, and we don't.
Nope.
How many people don't? How many people don't?
I still today sometimes don't listen.
Or even reach to him in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. We'll pick up our phone and call someone else.
Yeah.
But we don't say, okay, God. And right now is, and this is the thing. I think I had to learn. I talk to God like he's my friend.
Yeah, he should.
He's my homeboy. I talk to him like, oh my gosh, you know, like, this is what's going on, and da 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 da. When I was like, okay, dear Lord, I had a hard time breaking the, he's above me and I can't give him my ugly. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you have to figure out what works for you.
It's so funny because he already knows you're ugly.
Exactly.
He already knows you're ugly, but it's still like, ooh.
But we as people, our own shame, all of that.
Yeah. Like, it's,
so, you know, learning what's your comfort with him and building your own. No one, not even me, can tell anyone else how to have a relationship with God or what it's supposed to look like.
It's your own relationship. Yeah. Just like your own relationship in your own household.
Yeah.
Your own relationship. God's your own relationship.
Yeah.
You make it what it is.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So definitely. Well, Ms. Terry, you want to pray us out?
I will pray us out. Jesus, we come to you today, and we want you to bless everybody that we've touched or been with, or anybody. We want to bless our children and our husbands, and we want to bless all of our listeners that we, you know, hopefully that we can reach anybody or, you know, be with anybody. You know, we just want you to look over everybody that we've talked to today, Jesus, and we want you to go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, how was it?
was good. It was good.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
We did.
We talked a lot.
Is it going to bring the ladies to the show?
I hope so.
We definitely talked. Gave more of a background on us this go round, so they would know us.
Sure. Then,
of course, we'll branch out more later on. But I enjoyed it.
I did too.
Hopefully, it makes the ladies trust me and Jason more, because if you guys trust us, then I don't know why anyone else wouldn't. Well, we got to close the show the right way.
Okay.
So where's your dad joke?
Okay, I got a dad joke. Let me get my dad joke. Let me get it. A dad joke is, what do eggs do for fun?
I don't know. What do they do?
Karaoke.
That was a good dad joke.
That was good.
I know.
Hey, I got that from my grandbaby.
There you go. I mean, kids, they're funny, right?
Yeah.
Funny.
That was a good dad joke.
Alrighty, Maya Angelou. Try to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud.
Nice.
You're my rainbow, Terry.
Oh, how sweet.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Well, other than that, thank you guys for taking the time to do it.
Yes, thank y'all for listening to us today.
I know it's a little nerve-wracking, especially at first. Yeah. Now you can kind of understand why the first, 10 or 12 episodes were really, really,
well,
really
our first
rough.
Episode is very rough.
Nah, it can't be that bad.
Do a lot of editing. It'll be 15 seconds long.
Well, I'll be editing it probably in a couple of days. Not today, but tomorrow probably. Yeah. Other than that, man, thank you guys for joining us. If you want to find us, you can find us everywhere. Facebook and Instagram. We have an email, bswunbound80@gmail.com. We're working on some text-to-chat stuff, not really wanting to give out a local phone number to the masses.
Yeah,
not just yet.
And then, listen to the podcast on Spotify, RSS.com, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and we're on TikTok, everywhere, just wherever you can look, you can find us. If you ain't found us lately, you ain't trying very hard.
Nope.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Brittany.